Namaskar. We are glad to present the Mission 5 Billion Project to you. Taking a bird's eye view of the current situation worldwide, we will try to understand the need for the Gita University Project. The project's vision is to achieve global peace by propagating the principles of karma and dharma as proclaimed by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. The project intends to take Gita wisdom to over 50% of the world by 2050 by imparting the supreme yogic science to over 50,000 spiritually elevated people outside India and choosing the best 10,000 as certified Gita professors. We shall commence with a brief introduction and proceed to comprehend the necessity of this project by examining the causes behind the world's abandonment of the principles of karma and dharma. Additionally, we shall delve into the factors contributing to the deterioration of logical reasoning in human minds and its subsequent consequences. Furthermore, we shall explore the advantages of embracing the doctrine of karma and dharma for the betterment of humanity. We shall also discuss the responsibility of spiritually enlightened individuals towards society and the alarming rise in demand for psychiatrists and psychologists. Lastly, we shall ascertain the significance of this project, particularly in light of numerous organizations tirelessly disseminating the wisdom of the Gita on a global scale for several decades. Preamble. Lord Krishna preached the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna 5,000 years ago. Until 2500 BCE, people from all nations worshipped the five elements of nature and the sun god. Some people imagined the formless god in some form as per their wish and were praying to him. They knew their present life attributes, such as the selection of their mother's womb, physical and mental faculties, financial status, intelligence, rational thinking, happiness and sorrow, etc., have their source in the deeds of their past life. People in the first three yugas used to attain the four human goals, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, by focusing on their karma without an obsession with the name and form of God. Now this eternal principle is limited to only 2 to 3 countries out of 195 countries. People have forgotten that their afterlife depends on their deeds and have started believing that keeping faith in a particular name of God will get them to heaven. This kind of insane philosophy that God's name has value over good deeds will create a society full of criminals. Therefore, everyone who believes that only deeds matter and that God or God's name doesn't matter must investigate the reasons behind such skewed logic becoming popular and take necessary steps to revert the same on a war footing. Only by retreating from the insane God theories can we avoid the bloodshed that is happening all around the world in the name of holy wars. We herewith present a few probable reasons for humans developing such insane logic and perverted philosophies. Reasons for the decline of dharmic living in the world. Reason 1. We have miserably failed to take Ramayana outside India. Numerous archaeological findings indicate that the tale of Lord Rama gained widespread fame across the globe until the era of Mahabharata. This was decimated and confined to the Indian subcontinent in the past 5,000 years. The reason can be partly attributed to the effect of Kali Yuga, but it would be unjust if the wise get away from their share in the problem. Indians, who claim to be spiritually smarter than the rest of the world, failed to convey the story of Lord Rama outside India. That is why people outside India are unaware of what dharmic living is all about. If people do not know the story of Lord Rama, there is no way to understand how one should think, talk, act, and live a righteous life, no matter the extreme difficulties they face. And yet, when the demonic rulers ignored Rama's existence and mocked a great person who had guided humanity for countless millennia, we continued to remain silent, like timid spectators. The growth of ignorance, originating from outside India, has flourished unchecked, and now this ignorance has infiltrated India. Despite gaining independence, India missed the golden opportunity to become a global spiritual leader, a role it had held for countless centuries. Consequently, both India and the entire world are now suffering the repercussions. Hence, it becomes the primary duty of individuals who perceive themselves as guardians of righteousness to contemplate the factors contributing to vanishing the historical account of an extraordinary person who traversed this planet, embodying an unyielding dedication to uprightness amidst extremely tough challenges. It is truly disheartening that even in this modern age, no one has taken adequate initiative to share the history of a divine incarnation of the supreme cosmic power with people outside India. So, we all have to think whether or not it is justifiable to say or believe that humanity has lost its dharmic path without putting substantial effort into making the world understand the history of Lord Rama. It is sad to note that over 99% of the dharmic people lost their fighting spirit because of their selfish living and peace-loving sattvic nature. Dharma is in a coma state now. Therefore, we strongly opine that it is impossible to make people understand how they should be dharmic without acquainting them with the forgotten chronicles of Lord Rama, who has stuck to Dharma all through his life. Reason 2. We failed to take the essence of the Gita to the world. Krishna preached Gita to Arjuna between the Dwapara and Kali Yuga periods. It is evident to anyone with even a modicum of intelligence that this wisdom is meant for the people of Kali Yuga. Lord Krishna gave this wisdom to reduce the intensity of Kali in our minds. So, Gita wisdom is a vaccine to humanity that removes all sorts of sectarian toxicities within us and reveals many other life secrets. Had the wise defended this yogic science without being lost in the world, the virus of ignorance would not have spread so much, and the world would have been entirely different now. Reason 3. We neither dared to stop the demolition of Taxila or Nalanda universities, nor had the willpower to rebuild them. We all know that there were many international universities in Akhanda Bharat, such as Takshashila and Nalanda, which used to teach engineering, medicine, astronomy, mathematics, law, military science, Vedic scriptures, etc., to people worldwide. When evil people are destroying these international centers of excellence, our kings, who are supposed to protect Dharma, sadly adopted the non-violent path of Buddha, ignoring Krishna's path of removing evil at any cost. The kings renouncing their prescribed karma could have been another reason for declining dharmic living worldwide. The saddest aspect is that even in 7 decades of India's self-rule, there was no effort to establish international centers of human excellence and give back the lost Dharma to the world. Had they been restored and had Bhagavad Gita wisdom been passed on to people of all nations in the past 70 years, we could have saved millions of lives that are lost in the process of brutal ethnic cleansing and unnecessary wars and bloodshed. The ruling of the ignorant for the last thousands of years has created a feeling of inferiority among people following the dharmic path to such an extent that many feel ashamed to talk openly about an excellent universal dharma, where deeds only matter and God's name doesn't matter. So, we request our present rulers, right from the chief ministers of states, prime ministers, and presidents of all nations and the top heads in the United Nations organization, to stop looking at the sovereign science from a narrow religious lens and understand the benefits of the same to humanity and encourage the same at all levels on a war footing. It is astounding and distressing to learn that corporate CSR leaders do not include Gita education in their CSR funding guidelines. We implore the central governments to include the profound science of yoga in their extensive range of skill development programs, as self-awareness is the fundamental aspect that distinguishes humans from animals. With utmost humility and respect, we appeal to corporate organizations and the central governments of all nations to prioritize the development of human beings, enabling them to transcend their primal instincts and acquire the means to sustain their lives. Reason 4. Indians are a chosen race by gods. Many Indians, especially our spiritual masters, feel that they alone have the capacity to understand the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. It is disheartening to observe that many Vedic scholars who hold esteemed positions in the realm of Dharma harbor the belief that the Bharat race is vastly superior to people of other races and nations. This perception from people who claim to be next to gods may also be a reason for the ignorance that intoxicated 85% of the world. In the past 6 decades, numerous saints, particularly Sri Prabhupada, have transcended this narrow perspective and taken the teachings of the Gita to foreigners, propagating that all humanity is equally worthy of the knowledge of the self. Our decision to undertake this endeavor would not have been possible without his audacious actions during difficult circumstances. We extend our most profound admiration to our esteemed leader, an extraordinary individual, and we devote this undertaking in his honor. Reason 5. We were oblivious to the decline of Dharma outside India. Another subtle thing we have forgotten is that when our neighboring houses are in flames, and if we water our house without trying to extinguish the fire in the neighboring houses, the fire will eventually spread and turn our house to ashes. When the fire of ignorance destroyed neighboring countries, the emperors of India and their advisors should have interfered, defended, stood against evil, and made Dharma flourish. Sadly, this did not happen. And the oblivious attitude among many of the Indian kings not only destroyed over 50% of United India, but also led to 100% destruction outside it. Reason 6. Selfish attitude and ego of a few corporate gurus. Finally, our analysis of the decline of Dharma would remain incomplete if we failed to mention one unfortunate aspect. In India, some individuals attain the highest spiritual knowledge and gain esteemed social recognition and reputation due to their virtuous actions in their previous lives. Despite possessing the intellectual and financial capacity to mentor numerous gurus, they refrain from doing so due to their excessive ego. They are unwilling to acknowledge others as superior to them or at least equal to them. Instead, they constantly seek praise and validation from others, finding contentment in that alone. Living their lives with arrogance, they squander the golden opportunity bestowed upon them and degrade themselves in their subsequent lives. When they depart from this world, the vast institutions they established are left without a worthy successor. Throughout history, we have witnessed numerous instances of this nature, and unfortunately, we will continue to witness more in the future. it deeply saddens the goddess of Dharma to witness these gurus, who are meant to embody the qualities of Astitha Pragna, succumb to envy and hatred. The individuals who operate Vedic schools, such as the Shankarmat, Ramkrishnamat, ISKCON, Swami Narayan Gurukul, Chinmaya Mission, and many more serve as a source of inspiration and serve as exemplary figures for us. They tirelessly uphold the Dharma working around the clock and selflessly propagating it globally. Four, loss of rational intellect, its dangerous repercussions on society. If the principles of karma and dharma are disregarded, society will be governed by ignorance. This disregard will not only lead to a pachydermatous attitude, civil disorder, perpetual chaos and bloodshed in society, but also put the supreme cosmic energy that is commissioning the infinite galaxies on a very low pedestal. Some individuals use various names to refer to the super cosmic power, while others call it by one name. It is acceptable for anyone to assume God with a single name. However, the belief in one single name creates hatred for all other names, ultimately fostering a fanatical and extremist mindset. These individuals, if in majority, do not hesitate to harm those who go against their belief systems. These uninformed minds fail to comprehend the profound truth that the names of God are nothing but infinite divine manifestations and characteristics. These innocent individuals cannot grasp that we can only merge with boundless consciousness by relinquishing all our qualities and attributes and seeking refuge in the all-pervading and all-powerful knowledge. Their ignorance does not end there. They believe that God will only bestow blessings upon those who pray using the specific name they believe in. They vehemently propagate and intimidate others, warning that God will severely punish them if they pray using a name that goes against their beliefs. They resort to manipulation and deceit, dedicating their entire lives to enticing people onto their path of ignorance by hook or crook. When individuals reach the pinnacle of their ignorance, they believe that God's blessings or punishments are not contingent upon one's good deeds, but rather on the name of the deity they adhere to. Under the influence of this intoxicating ignorance, even the well-educated engage in foolish arguments in the name of God, disregarding the true essence of divinity. In such a society, profound conflicts arise, ultimately casting doubt on the very existence of humanity. Also, it is disheartening to observe that governments are fostering and tolerating this affliction under the guise of honoring diverse viewpoints. The fact that individuals with deranged minds can pen nonsensical drivel in the name of God and further propagate it through deception and intimidation is a testament to the detrimental consequences of upholding such ideologies. This prevailing issue stands as a significant obstacle in our world today. Hence, if we regard ignorance as a personal opinion deserving of respect, it will inevitably destroy the entire world. If the cells in our body fail to combat the deadly viruses originating from external sources, not only will the cells perish, but it will also pose a grave threat to the overall well-being of the human body housing these cells. Likewise, we must comprehend that we resemble a single unit within the omnipotent cosmic force. Consequently, we must combat ignorance internally and externally through every possible avenue. So, Fighting ignorance is the only way to demonstrate love, respect, service, and gratitude to the supreme cosmic energy that embeds all living beings and makes them experience whatever they wish and whatever they deserve with its supreme Maya. If we neglect the virus called ignorance, it hijacks our intellect, becomes monstrous, and diverts us from the essential truth. The essential truth that the spiritual masters keep ascertaining is that depending on the virtue and sin we have committed, we will go to heaven or hell. After completing the experiences in these planes, we will rebound with a deserving body and experience the karmic debt based on our previous birth deeds. Only our selfless actions and overcoming all the dualities will free us from the karmic debt and liberate us from repeated life and death. Finally, after reaching the highest level of non-dual wisdom, individuals will comprehend the ultimate absolute truth that the supreme cosmic power remains undivided and equally present within all living beings. Furthermore, they will recognize that nothing in this world is distinct from this power or exists outside of it. After thorough investigation and ratification, our sages presented this basic wisdom to the world, which people from all over the world used to have till 2500 BCE. If people can comprehend the presence of one superintelligent cosmic power in everyone and everywhere, then individual peace and global peace will be a natural outcome. Conversely, if this understanding is lacking, one may deduce that God is an irrational figure and a tyrant possessing extraordinary abilities, and that humanity is enslaved to him. Such illogical religious ideologies will inevitably steer society towards madness. Furthermore, the misguided notion that heaven or hell is solely determined by the name of God they believe in, rather than their religious conduct, negates the importance of leading a virtuous life. Those who adhere to such irrational arguments bring about their personal downfall, contribute to societal unrest, and create divisions among individuals. This excessive obsession with a single name for God will inevitably result in ongoing violence and conflict among people with diverse belief systems. Five, benefits to humanity for being aware of the principle of karma. The consciousness of the principles of karma will make a virtuous demeanor mandatory in individuals, ultimately fostering a harmonious community. In the absence of clean water, humans will adapt to consuming impure water when faced with thirst. Humans possess an inherent yearning for self-discovery, setting them apart from animals. Without access to the wisdom found in the Gita, individuals may mistakenly perceive their limited knowledge as all-encompassing. Ignorance proves to be more dangerous than intoxication, as it paves the way for the end of the human race on this planet. Artificial lighting cannot bring about a verdant earth. Only sunlight has the power to do so. Similarly, only through the practice of karma yoga can we uncover the mysteries surrounding our existence and find purpose in our lives. Should individuals fail to awaken to the complexities of life, not only will they squander their present birth, but they may also regress and reincarnate as animals, birds, or insects in their subsequent life due to their failure to employ their human intellect rationally. The principle of karma establishes God's divine law in our hearts that we alone are solely responsible for all our gains, losses, happiness, and sorrow. Practicing the basic principles of karma will gradually lead to the path of karma yoga. If we learn and practice karma yoga skillfully, taking the help of learned gurus, it slowly leads to yoga of equanimity. Then, the highest non-dual knowledge opens up the top chakra within our body, where we see everything in ourselves and ourselves in all living beings. Also, we will see the Creator in the entire creation, and the entire creation within the Creator. When we understand that the Supreme Lord resides in the hearts of all beings and governs both the animate and inanimate entities through his yogic maya, it becomes impossible for us to harbor hatred towards any living being. This simple, non-dual spiritual wisdom can establish universal peace if made available to all. It will minimize the conflicts between countries, races, people of different faiths, etc., and create a harmonious society. Cultivating equanimity through yoga encourages a mindset that appreciates and honors the perspectives of others, resulting in a reduction of conflicts not only between various societal factions, but also within families. Children will be able to understand the broader picture of life and will know the very purpose of coming to this planet. They will develop the ability to embrace the contrasting aspects of life, such as success and failure, with equanimity, ultimately becoming individuals with a stable and composed mindset, as Stitha Prajna. Moreover, as a result of this enlightenment, older people will no longer harbor any concerns when the time comes for them to depart from their physical bodies. They will eagerly anticipate the opportunity to witness the celestial realms described in sacred texts while maintaining enthusiasm for obtaining new bodies. We often see people who live their entire lives with dignity and respect bursting into tears when they realize the time has come to depart. They keep praying to God to keep their old bodies alive, defying all of nature's fundamentals. They lately realized that neither the people to whom they dedicated their entire lives nor the assets they accumulated would come with them. They leave their bodies like an orphan and stand guilty and empty-handed in Yama's court. We wish that such a situation should not come to anyone, especially not to those wise people who believed only in hard work till the fag end of their lives and worked hard for the well-being of their families. Six. The responsibility of Gita gurus towards society's well-being. The wise have a crucial duty to share their profound knowledge with the masses, ensuring ignorance does not prevail in our societies. Their inherent quality is to study the Vedic scriptures and enlighten politicians, business people, farmers, and the working class with supreme wisdom. By embracing Paradharma instead of adhering to Swadharma, they have inadvertently disrupted the equilibrium of the human work pyramid, resulting in the grave consequences we are witnessing every day worldwide. If the masters of the yogic science and the politicians, who collectively make up less than 1% of the population, are dedicated to Swadharma, then the remaining 99% can experience a tranquil existence. The failure of our spiritual leaders to enlighten politicians about the advantages of adhering to righteousness and the repercussions of deviating from it has instilled a sense of fearlessness within the political class. As a result, the general public disregarded the moral consequences as they observed their role models engaging in unethical practices to accumulate wealth rapidly, resulting in peculiar and unjust conduct in society. Therefore, to reduce the fierce hostility between nations, religions, castes, races, regions, languages, and people of the same family, the wise have to take responsibility on their shoulders. They should sit with the government leaders of all states and nations and explain the benefits of Karma Yoga to mankind. They are supposed to make the government heads understand how blessed they are to get into such positions and the good deeds they would have done in their past lives to get into such responsible positions. The wise should guide them along the same righteous path in their current existence to facilitate their ascent to even more remarkable achievements in their next life. Once the wise make the political leaders understand the principles of karma and dharma, they should convince them to introduce karma yoga to the youth of their country or state. In this manner, the wise must consistently foster logical reasoning within society. If the wise relinquish their roles and retreat, then irrational philosophies such as believe or die and believe and secure a place in heaven would dominate and bring ruin to the world. 7. The increasing demand for psychiatrists and psychologists is a worrying factor. The statistics indicate that around 1.2 million doctors specialize in psychology and psychiatry globally. With pastors acting as accelerators and considering the ever-growing demand, this figure is expected to rise to 2 million by 2050. This implies that the entire global population will be impacted by mental health issues, highlighting a significant concern for the entire world. Based on the latest survey findings, it is evident that mental illness predominantly affects children, women, and the elderly. The medical community will be disgraced if they fail to address the underlying causes and discover a lasting remedy. The true worth of medical science lies in its ability to minimize the dependency on doctors rather than perpetuating their necessity with each passing year. The increasing lack of security, thoughtlessness, and recklessness among the younger generation is another concerning factor. It is a clear sign of the imminent danger the world is about to face. The careless and unwise actions displayed by the youth, along with their senseless rage and hatred towards people who differ from their opinions and beliefs, present a severe threat of turning them into dangerous tools in the hands of terrorists. Over the past 30 years, we have observed terrorists exploiting innocent youth and children to sow disorder and violence within society. On the other hand, it is essential to note that many individuals who have achieved great success and possess all the necessary comforts struggle to find happiness. We must understand here that a constant conflict exists in addition to the attraction between the untainted soul and worldly desires driven by the three modes of nature. Those driven by action and material pursuits may find temporary satisfaction in their possessions. At the same time, those who are in the withdrawal mode may struggle to find joy in material wealth, ultimately leading to unhappiness and a sense of being lost. Therefore, if an individual discovers themselves dissatisfied despite their material belongings, they must promptly pursue the guidance of the Gita Guru. Neglecting to do so might result in depersonalization disorder, which has the potential to trigger thoughts of self-harm. That is why our elders have repeatedly warned us that there is no doctor better than Lord Krishna and no science better than Bhagavad Gita. That is why it is called the Sovereign Science and Sovereign Secret. Hence, Karma Yoga requires the largest educational network in the world. We hope everyone will agree with this view and see that there will be one Karma Yoga Institute for every 100,000 population by the end of the 21st century. Children of wealthy industrialists and celebrities are losing their way. We all know that approximately 60 million individuals globally possess a net worth exceeding $1 million. These individuals, constituting a mere 0.75% of the global population, are significant in generating extensive employment opportunities and serve as the driving force behind the global economy. The remarkable contributions of these diligent and highly skilled businessmen have propelled the progress we witness today. Moreover, they play a pivotal role in bolstering the infrastructure of their respective nations, as they are the highest contributors to tax revenues. It is concerning to observe that most of their offspring do not possess the same admirable qualities as their parents. Should these individuals deviate from the right path, it could potentially jeopardize the future of our world. These people, because of their highest reputation in society, are unable to go to counseling centers even if they are found to have mental issues. Additionally, it is distressing to acknowledge that a staggering 47% of married individuals are unable to effectively navigate their relationships, leading to profound disappointment and depression. Furthermore, the affluent younger generation, who are expected to serve as a source of inspiration for their peers, are succumbing to mental fragility and immersing themselves in darkness. Arjuna, filled with immense sorrow on the battlefield, received the profound wisdom of two yogic paths from Lord Krishna, who guided him to fulfill his prescribed duty. Likewise, the esteemed mentors at Gita University will bestow the enlightening wisdom of yoga upon these affluent youngsters, elevating them to the stature of their parents by conscientiously reminding them of their privileged birth resulting from virtuous actions in their past lives. If entrepreneurs conduct their businesses following righteous principles, not only will the economic fortunes of nations transform, but the individuals working under them will also experience genuine happiness. The questions troubling man since the beginning are, what is the purpose of life? If the universe was created perfectly by God, why do we experience so much suffering? Why must we endure so much struggle, knowing that death is inevitable? Where was I before I was born? And where will I go after death? What is the underlying cause of our desires? Is it morally wrong to have desires? Should I suppress my desires or embrace them? How can I gain control over my desires? Why do we witness so many inequalities if God created a world of equal justice? Why are some born as humans, some as animals, some as birds, some as insects and worms, some as plants, and some as bacteria and viruses, etc. These deep inquiries consume our minds until we uncover a logical resolution for each of them. If our psychologists focus solely on treating the brain without educating the patient on the fundamental mechanics of life, the prescribed medicines may offer temporary relief, but cannot offer a lasting solution. These medicines cannot address the underlying issues in our hearts and minds. And instead, they may contribute to an increase in toxic substances within the body, ultimately weakening the individual further. we hold a firm conviction that the profound wisdom found in the Bhagavad Gita has the potential to effectively tackle more than three-quarters of the psychological challenges that the present-day youth is confronted with on a global scale. Consequently, our dedicated efforts are focused on providing one Gita guru for every 100,000 individuals by the conclusion of the 21st century. As a short-term objective, we aim to produce 10,000 Gita gurus by 2035. Pastors and godmen are adding fuel to the fire. While these 1.2 million psychiatrists and psychologists are trying to make sick people healthy, pastors are working the other way around, turning healthy people into sick, creating further demand for these doctors. We all know that many godmen employ coercive tactics, using threats to force people into believing in their god or face the death penalty. Conversely, a few other godmen entice individuals by promising them a guaranteed place in heaven and good health if they believe in their god. It is estimated that there are more than 5 million pastors globally who tirelessly spread these irrational theories about God and turn healthy youth into psychopaths. While these individuals are believed to exceed 1 million in number across 600,000 villages all over India, is it an ambitious goal to strive for a minimum of 10,000 Gita gurus worldwide who can advocate for the principles of karma and dharma? Is what we request all the dharmic people to ask themselves before feeling that having 10,000 Gita gurus is a greedy target. Therefore, by the end of the 21st century, our goal is to train 100,000 Gita gurus, and within the next decade, we aim to have at least 10,000 Gita gurus. This ambitious endeavor will significantly contribute to mitigating mental disorders and sectarian toxicity within society. As a result, it becomes imperative to incorporate Gita Shastra into the psychology curriculum. Consequently, psychologists who are currently practicing will be obligated to study the Bhagavad Gita to enhance the outcomes for their patients. Questioning the possibility of training 10,000 Gita gurus in 10 years indicates timidity rather than courage. Discerning individuals do not dwell on the difficulties or possibilities, but instead direct their attention towards the relevance of this endeavor for society. Our ancestors have bestowed upon us an abundance of hope and positivity. As we solemnly carry the deceased to the crematorium, we lower the funeral bier and gently place it on the ground three times, reciting the Narayana or Datta mantra, yearning for the revival of the departed soul. If we exhibit such unwavering optimism in our attempt to bring life to the lifeless, how much more optimism should we demonstrate in our endeavor to awaken society from the madness attributed to God is what the wise should contemplate deeply and decide whether our targets are gluttonous. 8. Why is this project necessary when numerous organizations are already dedicated to spreading the wisdom of the Gita globally? Before concluding, it is imperative to address the necessity of the Gita University project, especially considering the extensive efforts that numerous institutions have dedicated to propagating Gita's wisdom over several decades. We sincerely appreciate the hard work and dedication exhibited by these organizations in their pursuit of universalizing the teachings of the Gita. However, upon closer examination of the statistics, it becomes apparent that the results obtained and the efforts exerted thus far could be more convincing. According to statistics, a mere 0.1% of the global population, excluding India and nine other Asian countries, endorse the principles of karma and dharma. That means about 6 million people out of the 6 billion residing outside the Indian subcontinent embrace the karmic tenets of the Vedic wisdom. Furthermore, among these 6 million individuals, the number of non-Indian origin proponents is less than 6 lakhs. These figures lead us to conclude that we have yet to succeed in elevating the sovereign science to its desired level. Exclusive educational institutions for teaching the sovereign science versus temples. While we hold temples in the highest regard, we firmly believe that Gita Bhavans have the potential to dispel ignorance among individuals and foster a sense of global citizenship. There is a noticeable trend of educated individuals disengaging from believing in God, especially in developed nations. More and more people are rejecting the idea that God willingly endured brutal torture and death to save humanity from sin. Instead, they are increasingly drawn to concepts such as karma, yoga, meditation, Ayurveda, Indian cuisine, astrology, past life regression, Kuchipudi dance, Indian film dance, Carnatic music, and so on. We know that people will not be attracted to betel nuts and betel leaves that aid digestion if given separately. However, if these ingredients are combined with other delicious elements, people will gladly consume them and benefit from the core properties of betel. This psychology of people highlights the importance of presentation and packaging. We all know that our principle of karma is prodigious. If it can be designed, packaged, and presented intriguingly, we can take this wisdom to over 50% of the world by 2050. So it is a challenge for the present-day gurus to make all sections of people logically understand the reasons behind their suffering and show them the solutions through Bhagavad Gita's wisdom. For us to overcome the day-to-day challenges and become successful, to get a next life with better attributes than we have today, to have the fortitude to face adverse situations with steadfastness, to get rid of the cycle of birth and death, there is no other alternate than to rely on Bhagavad Gita wisdom. Our Gita experts must be able to effectively communicate this information to the public using the most simple language possible. Religion, God, believing in God benefits us. Disbelief puts us in hell. God sits above and sees everything, so we have to fear Him. There will be no health or financial problems if we surrender and pray to Him, etc. The present generation of young individuals despises hearing such irrational and absurd statements. The youth have ceased attending the houses of worship due to their dissatisfaction with these irrational words. So, we constantly witness numerous temples devoid of people being shut down in all the developed countries. In this scenario, the outcomes will be limited even if individuals invest vast sums of money in constructing new temples, erecting towering statues of unprecedented height, allocating millions of rupees for festivals, etc. These endeavors cannot instill the yogic wisdom within people's hearts. They merely showcase these institutions' presence and magnificence without significantly augmenting the number of subscribers to Sanatana Dharma. A subtlety we need to be aware of is that if the wise do not think dynamically, there arises a vast scope for ignorance to propel. We will get the same old results if we follow the same old methods. Wisdom and knowledge serve as the most potent tools wielded by the wise. However, if the wise do not utilize these tools effectively and adapt to the ever-changing dynamics of society, ignorance will gradually infiltrate and manipulate human minds, resulting in extensive harm and ongoing violence. In a society lacking the principles of karma, fundamental principles such as democracy, civil rights, and freedom of thought will be sacrificed, leading to immense suffering for the people. Regrettably, individuals will become so intellectually impaired that they mistakenly perceive righteousness as wickedness and vice versa. Consequently, they comfortably ignore the terror elements within them and keep unjustly blaming the wise for the continuous bloodshed and loss of life that becomes a routine occurrence in their surroundings. They plan to invade the world by playing the victim card and showcasing to the world that they are the most peace-loving people on planet Earth. Until now, the non-utilization of Gita wisdom as a powerful tool has led to a significant decline in the belief in the eternal principle of karma. This eternal theory, widely accepted worldwide around 4,000 years ago, now only holds 15% of its former influence. Therefore, we must separate this profound science from the confines of religions, traditions, norms, and cultures, and present it to the world. For those few individuals who perceive this project as unnecessary, we feel compelled to elucidate the thought process that influenced our decision to adopt an unconventional approach. We hold the utmost reverence for all organizations that advocate Gita's wisdom globally. They serve as our mentors and exemplars. We would not have embarked on this project without their prior endeavors during the most arduous times. Despite numerous challenges, they have persevered tirelessly and established a solid foundation for Dharma in many countries. If we can construct structures upon the foundation laid by our esteemed mentors, our lives will be enriched, and the objective of this project will be accomplished. Our conclusion regarding the necessity of this project, while many others are working on the same subject, is as follows. Adding 100 more organizations to the current 10 can easily restore the ancient eternal Dharma to its former glory. From the second organization onwards, each one would have faced the same question of redundancy. If they had succumbed to such pessimism, the existing organizations would have suffered a fatal blow, resulting in significant damage to the Dharmic principles on a global scale. Therefore, we eagerly anticipate the emergence of more organizations, bringing forth fresh ideas alongside the existing ones. We anticipate that every successful business person who follows the principles of Dharma will provide their support and blessings to all emerging organizations, similar to how Lord Krishna supported Arjuna. Is there a need for a 1,200 crore budget and 100 acres of land? Some people suggest that we start promoting Gita wisdom from a modest office rather than a physical university, which requires a substantial amount of 1,200 crore rupees for its establishment. We acknowledge that numerous individuals have chosen this approach, and we hold great respect for all of them. However, we firmly believe that we cannot execute a project based on the abilities of others, and it would be beneficial for anyone to implement their ideas by themselves. Therefore, we respectfully submit that we neither imitate the paths of others nor request other organizations emulate our paths. Ignorance must be eradicated surrounding it from all directions. Employing only a few strategies to establish righteousness can be highly dangerous. Hence, engaging in this yoga of knowledge through all ways and means is always advantageous and advisable. Who will run Gita University? Who and how many members will be on the governing board? Who and how many will there be on the advisory board? How do we establish and manage a network of 10,000 Gita Bhavans? How much will the monthly operational cost be? And how do you generate that huge sum? How much staff is needed? Where do you get Gita Gurus to train the prospective Gita Gurus? Do the donors making large donations own shares in the foundation? Will their opinions carry value in the functioning of Gita University? Do shareholders have the right to dissolve the management board and appoint a new board? How can you ensure the proper usage of public funds? Who is the chairman? How do you identify the potential Gita gurus from outside India? How will people be attracted to the principles of Karma Yoga? How does the general public approach our satsangs? How do our satsangs become self-reliant, etc.? We are unable to present them here because of lack of time and some confidentiality reasons, and we seek your kind understanding. It's now or never. One group adopts demonic traits and develops extreme hatred towards people who oppose their philosophy and indulge in grave terror acts. While the other group, due to higher education, corporate jobs, increased technology, and improved economic situations, thinks logically and indulges in building bridges between people. In this internet age, the young generation has stopped believing blindly in their religious leaders or family heads. They commenced employing logical reasoning in their thought process, displaying no hesitation in discarding any irrational or nonsensical notions. That is why we see about 200 million people around the world become atheists or agnostics with an aversion to the creepy and insane scriptures they are ordered to believe as holy. While this exponential growth is concerning, it signifies the beginning of a new era with thinking citizens, unlike sheep, which the world has witnessed for 2,000 years. The perspective held by atheists, asserting that God does not exist, is a million times superior to adoring a God who is insecure and sadistic, punishing billions of people by subjecting them to perpetual deep fry in hell simply because they did not worship the God as per their beliefs. These atheists believe that it is more virtuous for humanity to embrace the notion of a godless existence rather than live under the shadow of toxic ideologies that threaten eternal damnation for those who do not adhere to a specific deity. We wholeheartedly agree with their perspective. Therefore, we contend that atheists and agnostics are the most suitable ones to comprehend the principles of karma as it dismantles the arbitrary powers attributed to God and passes on the blessing and cursing powers to one's own deeds. For thousands of years, the world lacked the opportunity that now exists in the form of mobile phones, where people hold the power in their hands. Additionally, all religious texts have been made available to the public over the past decade through reasoned discussions and debates. This means there is no chance for any content to remain hidden under the guise of holiness. These texts are now under the scrutiny of human intellect and thorough examination. As a result, any irrational ideas will gradually be absorbed in the years to come, given the abundance of content on platforms like YouTube and Google. It is therefore our minimum responsibility to present the two yogic paths specified by Lord Krishna to the world within the next 30 years, allowing everyone to determine if they foster a sense of unity among all living beings. Through this wisdom of non-dual oneness, we can eliminate all mental ailments, particularly the toxic sectarianism that promotes the belief that my God is better than your God. Notably, the percentage of individuals influenced by extremist religious ideologies as of date is at most 10%. The peril posed by religious toxicity surpasses that of a lethal virus. 90% of the population remains unaffected by this virus. By promptly administering the vaccine called the Yoga of Equanimity, the current mentally healthy people can acquire immunity against the God virus, potentially safeguarding countless innocent individuals' lives. If there is a delay in spreading the teachings of the Gita, the current 10% of the global population affected by the God virus will consistently display zombie-like behavior. This will eventually result in a rapid increase in virus-affected individuals, reaching 50% of the world population by 2050. As a result, the situation will become unmanageable and alarming, requiring governments to deploy many armed police personnel to handle the daunting task of eliminating 5 billion zombies to save the remaining 5 billion unaffected people. We firmly believe that God, who is supposed to enhance our rationality and independence, has instead become a hindrance to peaceful coexistence. It made humans devalue their skills and beg him for all their needs and desires. Therefore, true peace cannot be achieved unless we dismantle all forms of God theories and establish the non-dual spiritual philosophy. Our faith is rooted in karma and dharma, and we firmly believe that the two yogic paths recommended by the highest cosmic authority are more easily comprehensible than a mother's guidance to her child. Gita is a mirror for every soul. Gita is a reflective tool for individuals with human bodies, which allows them to see their inner true self. When someone gazes into this soul mirror, they may initially be taken aback, much like animals. However, they will undoubtedly establish a connection with their true consciousness over time. The gurus from Gita University will introduce these soul mirrors to humanity, helping them comprehend that they are tiny fragments of boundless intelligence, consciousness, and energy. They will realize that they willingly embraced physical forms to partake in the material realm, traversing through countless bodies in succession. Furthermore, they will gain insight into the fact that the dualities they encounter arise from their yearning to experience nature and that they can be transcended by attaining complete contentment in their encounters and comprehending the yogic approach to merging with the supreme intellect. Gita is a user manual for every soul taking a human body. Out of 8.4 million living beings, only humans can look at their user manual and operate themselves accordingly. Despite the efforts of demons to destroy this invaluable manual, it has been preserved by the gurus of India. Thanks to the benevolence of Maharishi Veda Vyasa, Jagadguru Adi Shankaracharya, and their devoted disciples. For thousands of years, the branches of the Vedic tree were burned, cut, and destroyed by evil individuals. However, thanks to our esteemed Indian gurus for preserving at least the main portion of this sacred tree, It is incumbent upon righteous Indians to provide the essential nourishment to this divine tree of knowledge, ensuring it grows branchlets all over the globe. The nourishment in question comes in the form of the Gita Gurus, whom we aspire to produce in abundance through our esteemed Gita University project. Instead of attributing the downfall of society to demonic influence, the primary cause lies in the failure of knowledgeable individuals to wield the mighty sword of wisdom. We should retrace our steps and search for where we have gone astray. The current sorry state of affairs in this world can be attributed to the absence of role models who can effectively guide people in their prescribed and abandoned actions. As a result, we aim to establish one Gita Guru for every 1 million population worldwide by 2035. And we aspire to bring the teachings of yogic science to over half of the global population by 2050. We apologize for not being able to disclose the 7-step approach we have adopted to achieve this objective in this video due to privacy and time limitations. Conclusion. The start of a new beginning. Knowing that darkness is not an entity by itself and that it is only the absence of light. Similarly, realizing the smallest subtlety that ignorance has no place where there is knowledge. And without wasting time in the illusion that God will remove our ignorance, lighting 10,000 wisdom lights by 2035 and 100,000 by the end of 21st century to convey the truth that the only one infinite consciousness pervades in all animate and inanimate objects, reconciling the differences between people of various beliefs and cultures, and establishing universal peace, is what all the Dharmic citizens should unitedly take it on their shoulders, making this as the biggest yajna in this Kali Yuga. If 1 crore peace-loving people from the 800 crore population, 1,000 rich business people, and a few Vedic seers support this project, then it is not at all difficult to produce 10,000 Gita Gurus by 2035 and 100,000 Gita Gurus by the end of the 21st century. The Gita Gurus can certainly bring sustainable and perpetual global peace, making the world understand that God is not a name or form to argue with each other, but the ultimate supreme energy that embeds all of us within it and makes us experience whatever we wish and whatever we deserve with its supreme Maya. We pray and hope that everyone fond of the principles of karma and dharma will come forward and participate in this profound yajna. May the principles of karma and dharma prevail all over the world.